You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Doing a mini-sode episode on Joel Mark Wells. Mark, as his friends and family called him, was 21 years old at the time, and he was hanging out with friends on a chilly night in January 1994 when he got in an argument with his friends and decided to go off on his own. A strange series of events would lead to his last sightings. Mark vanished that night, leaving behind two little boys that now have their own children and just want to bring their father home and lay him to rest. There's not much known about Mark's childhood, but I do know that he is one of 14 siblings. He has some of his sisters that are very involved today in keeping his case in the media and the search for their brother active. There is an obituary in remembrance forum marked Uncle Joel Mark Wells that has absolutely beautiful stories from his family and people that loved him. I'll be adding that link in the show notes and on my website for those that would like to read more about Mark and what his family and loved ones thought about him, and how much time they put into each anniversary that passes, and how many messages he receives on the board. It's truly a beautiful thing. I didn't add any of those messages here because it's hard to verify that each one is from a person in his family or that knows him, but I will be putting that link up so you can do that yourself if you would like. From what I gathered, Mark is a very sweet guy that wouldn't hurt a fly and had a great sense of humor and truly loved his family and friends. There's a lot of theory and speculation in this case, and honestly, I understand it. But we're going to focus on the facts of what we do know, so let's dive in. Joel Mark Wells lived in a small town called Hazard in Kentucky. The night that Mark vanishes is such a memorable night in the town's history, not just because Mark vanishes, but because the day before he vanishes, there was a murder in this tiny little town. This small town security would be shattered on January 14th, 1994, when a gas station attendant on Main Street named Terry Noble, who was just a high school student at the time and well known and loved throughout the community, was brutally murdered in a robbery gone wrong. The murderer fled the scene, and the whole community was in shock and focused on finding the killer. The next night, January 15th, 1994, there was a huge storm that rolled in. The snow fell so heavy and so quickly that a lot of the roadways were not accessible. Temperatures reached below zero. It was a very cold January night. So while most of the residents of Hazards were home, bundled up, trying to stay warm and keeping their doors locked for fear of this murderer that was on the run, Mark and his friends were out and about. There's no real information on what Mark and his friends' plans were for that night when they were hanging out, but we do know that at some point in the night, Mark gets in an argument with his friends. We don't know exactly what the argument was about, but Pam Brewer, Mark's sister, said that his friends told her that Mark got out of the car because he was mad and upset and decided to walk off on his own, and that's the last time any of them saw him. Mark was seen a bit later that night as he frantically banged on the door of a Burger King that workers were doing their closing duty, located at the Black Gold Shopping Center. They said that Mark was begging to be let in. With the robbery and the murder the night before, workers were too scared to let him in, but they did pick up the phone and phone the police, letting them know about the incident. Police would arrive at the Burger King within minutes. But by then, Mark was nowhere to be found. There was a Walmart at the shopping center at the time, and witnesses stated that Mark was seen asking customers that were exiting the store for rides. Another witness would call 911 to report that they had seen Mark running frantically around, trying to get into vehicles and asking anyone he saw for help. The witness described that he was scared to death and acting really erratic. They said that he was acting as if someone was after him. The unfortunate thing at the time is both the caller at Burger King and the 911 caller did not know this was Mark. And police did not put these two calls together and connect that to Mark until a little further into the investigation. It wouldn't be until the next morning when Mark didn't arrive home that his sisters knew something was up. They said that Mark was a dedicated family man and would never walk out on his two children. That's when the three sisters knew right away. If he wasn't home, something bad happened to him that night. His sisters described him as a happy, loving person who loved life, people, and most of all, loved his little boys. So they knew there was no way that he would walk away from his life on his own. That morning, his sisters would file a missing persons report with the police. Hazard Police Chief Minor Allen said that once Mark was reported, police did their best to search the area. They ended up getting scent tracking dogs, which led them to the riverbank. Allen said, quote, "The dogs were able to pick up a scent, and they did track that scent all the way over to Hazard Pass, through the yard next to the river, to the dam, and that's where they lost the scent," unquote. Allen believes that Mark did end up going into the Kentucky River, but with the conditions of the weather when they were searching for Mark, officers struggled to find him. Allen said, quote, "If he did go into that river down there, then it will never be known," unquote. It wouldn't be until weeks after Mark's disappearance that his own sister Pam would talk to the Burger King workers about the mysterious man knocking on the door. Pam said, quote, "I took the picture and I was like, is this the guy? And he was like, yes, that is him," unquote. Mark's sisters felt like they weren't getting enough answers from the police department, and they decided that it was up to them to get the truth of what happened to their brother. His sister Valerie said when they had spoken to everybody and nobody had seen or heard from him, they all knew something was wrong. They agreed that at this point, most likely his disappearance had to do with him being murdered, and likely murdered by the very people he stormed away from in the Walmart parking lot. Pam said, quote, "He was definitely murdered, definitely the wrong place with the wrong people at the wrong time," unquote. Pam believes because of this massive snowstorm basically shut down their town, but that's what made it so difficult to find his body in the river. Pam says she still remembers that being the worst winter to date ever, and that the river was so high up and full of ice. When the police initially searched the river because it was this icy condition and it was so cold, they did have to suspend the search until the river was more favorable condition to be searched. About 2 weeks later, when it was warmer and the water was more favorable, they did go back and again search that river as well as along the banks of the river for any clues that would point to Mark's remains at this point. Because it went from a rescue search initially, but after it being suspended for 2 weeks because of water conditions, turned into a recovery search at this point. All of Mark's friends that he was hanging out with that night were questioned by police and cleared, as well as the people that police know that he came in contact with that night, as far as the people he was asking for rides from in the Walmart parking lot. Eventually, Hazard Police would turn over Mark's case to the Kentucky State Police. The Kentucky State Police would search the lakes and rivers in the area again and find nothing. Nothing that pointed to Mark's disappearance. There was a vehicle that they did do a blood splatter test on. However, those answers were not made public, nor whose vehicle was that they tested was ever made public. 28 years later, and Mark's sisters continue to seek the truth about what happened to their brother that night. Mark missed out on raising his two little boys. His youngest, Mark Hensley, was just a baby when his father vanished. Hensley said, "It's been really difficult growing up not knowing what happened to his father, and then having to explain to his own children why their grandfather isn't there." He said, quote, "I don't know him much, so I have to make up stories to tell him. My little boy asks me about him all the time and why he doesn't have a grave," unquote. Mark's sons, now grown, say that there's not a day that goes by that they don't think about their father. It would mean the world to them to find out what happened to him. At this point, they are not even focused on finding his killer. They just want to find his remains and bring him home and lay him to rest. Mark's sisters still continue to ask for any clues as to what happened to their brother that night. His sister Tammy said, quote, "I think that the truth will always outlive a lie, eventually," unquote. Allen says the case is still open, but with the lack of leads, the department had to put the case on the back burner. Allen said, quote, "Until my dying day, I'll wonder what happened to him. To me, nothing would be worse than not knowing. I think at this point in time now, if somebody did do something to him, it would have to be a deathbed confession or something that they want to make just to clear their name or their conscience," unquote. Mark's family is pleading with the public that if anybody knows anything, any bit of information, to please come forward. They just want to find closure. When Joel Mark Wells disappeared, he was 21 years old. He was 6 feet and 160 pounds. The night he disappeared, he was wearing a blue flannel shirt, black denim jacket, blue jeans, a green baseball cap with a hemp plant insignia, and tan and green hiking boots. He is a Caucasian male with brown hair, blue eyes, and typically went by his middle name, Mark. He would be 49 today. If you have any information on Mark's disappearance or what happened that night, you are asked to contact the Kentucky State Police, Post 13, at 606-435-6069, or the Hazard Police Department at 606-436-2222. Thank you so much for tuning into another minisode today. I know that this, again, is another very short episode, but Mark has a very loving family that is hurting deeply by his disappearance and the years of this case being unsolved. Please share Mark's story in whatever format you're comfortable with, and hopefully today we helped shine a light on his case. I wanted to ask one more thing from you all today. Subscribing and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts will help these cases reach a further audience. I would really appreciate it if you were able to take a few moments after listening to do that. Any feedback will serve to improve my podcast and help shine a light on these cases. Don't forget, when you see those missing and murdered posts, to click, like, share, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.